Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing today? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom for your marriage. There's freedom for your finances. And most of all, there's freedom to worship God here today. So get ready.
Open up the heavens, we wanna see you. Family, your blood flows. Lord, that is the cry of our hearts, that you would be greater and that we would be less. So Lord, in this place, we pray that you would have your way. We surrender everything to you, God. And all God's people said, amen. This time you can go ahead and say hi to your neighbor and we'll get into the announcements.
Hi everyone, my name is Tom and I serve on our worship team. We're so excited to have you here with us. Our new semester of life groups starts April 11th. Life groups are a great way to get connected with others who share similar interests as you. Whatever you love to do, you can make it into a life group. If you're interested in leading a group, make sure to sign up for our life group leader training meeting at htchurch.com. To stay connected in the life of our church, scan the QR code at the bottom of your program. If you're watching us online, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Church, we love you and we hope you have a great week.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad that you've come to worship the Lord with us today. Didn't our worship team do a great job leading us this morning? We want to welcome everyone that is worshiping with us online this morning. We are so glad that you've joined us and that we're connected by the Spirit of God and thankful for technology that allows us to worship together this morning. We want to thank you for all of your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church, and we want to thank you for honoring the Lord with your giving. You know, Jesus said, "Don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth." He said, moth and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal. Instead, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And so we want to just thank you. Every time you give to the ministries of Harvest Time Church, you are giving, you are storing up treasure in heaven. Because of social distancing, we are not going to pass an offering plate through the sanctuary this morning. If you did bring an offering with you today, there are offering boxes at all the entrances and exits, and you can drop your offering in one of those boxes as you leave the sanctuary today. For everyone worshiping with us online, you can give securely to Harvest Time Church anytime at our website, htchurch.com. Just click the giving link on the top of the homepage and it'll walk you through giving safely and securely to Harvest Time Church. Some people like to give by text, and the information for giving by text is on the screens behind me. You can also find it in your bulletin. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, I want to invite you to turn with me today to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about an open heaven, John chapter 1. While you find your way there, some people have been asking about membership here at Harvest Time Church. Our membership class is a four-week experience we call Discovery Track. We offer it on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock, four consecutive Wednesdays. Denise and I host that along with Pastor Blaze, and we are starting a new session of Discovery Track this coming Wednesday evening, March 3rd at 7 p.m. And if you're interested in becoming part of our Harvest Time Church family and getting involved and really becoming part of the life of the congregation, we'd love to spend some time with you this Wednesday at 7 p.m. You can sign up for that at the Connect desk out in the main lobby. The other thing we wanted to let you know, a couple weeks ago, the governor of Connecticut relaxed COVID restrictions on houses of worship, and we are now allowed, we're permitted to have up to 50% capacity, which means in this, in this sanctuary, we would be permitted to have 500 people. We don't have that many in any one service. We have more than that across three services. But because those restrictions have been relaxed, we're not going to require tickets anymore for Sunday morning because we don't nearly exceed the capacity in any one service. We'll still take your temperature at the door and spray some hand sanitizer as you come in, offer that to you. We do sanitize the sanctuary before and after after every worship service. We have an apparatus I call the Ghostbuster. It shoots an ionized cleansing solution that cleanses hard and soft surfaces, and we thoroughly sanitize the sanctuary, the foyer, our kids' ministry areas before and after every use. And so the COVID numbers are going in the right direction. The transmission rates are falling. We thank God for that, and hopefully we're going to walk out of this real soon by God's grace. All right, John chapter 1. Actually, I'm going to read a few verses from Genesis 28, and then I'm going to meet you in John chapter 1. This is the story in Genesis 28 of Jacob's ladder. You remember Jacob deceived his father and stole his brother's birthright, and then he ran for his life. And while he was running for his life, he had a vision from the Lord. Let's read about it. Genesis 28, I'm reading from verse 10. The Bible says in Genesis 28, verse 10, Jacob left Beersheba and he set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. It's too bad that he didn't know the MyPillow guy. He had a dream in which he saw a ladder resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. He said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Verse 16 of Genesis 28, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Now jump with me, if you will, to John chapter 1, and let's start reading in verse 43. John 1, reading in verse 43. The Bible says, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Let's talk for a few minutes this morning about an open heaven. This year, we're spending our Sunday mornings together looking at the matchless life of Jesus. And you know, there's just nothing better we could be doing right now with everything going on in our country and in our world. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, you will keep those in perfect peace whose minds are fixed on you because they trust in you. You know, that's my prayer for all of us this year, that as we focus on Jesus, his peace will fill our hearts and our minds. Prior to launching his public ministry in Galilee, Jesus spent some time with John the Baptist at the Jordan River in the general vicinity of Jerusalem. Jesus' first and closest disciples were actually first disciples of John the Baptist, Peter and Andrew, James and John, Philip and Nathanael. When Jesus passed by them in their fishing boats in Galilee and said, come follow me, that wasn't the first time that they had met. They had already spent time together around the Jordan River. In Galilee, Jesus made their discipleship official. Looking at the call of Nathanael, I have an encouraging word from the Lord for you today. God has called you to live under an open heaven. God has called us to live under an open heaven. Do you know that truth is baked into the very architecture of this sanctuary? Because of sin, a barrier exists between us and a holy God. But on the cross, Jesus, the Lamb of God, took away the sins of the world by taking them upon himself. And when we believe on Jesus, the barrier is removed so that we may now worship God under an open heaven. Looking at the call of Nathanael, I want to share a few thoughts with you about an open heaven. A few thoughts about an open heaven. On your way in, you received a program. In your program, there's an outline of today's sermon. If you'd like, you can listen, fill in the blanks, watch the screens. If you'd like to have a copy of the outline at home, there's a link to a PDF file in the chat section of the live stream. You can click on that and have an outline of today's sermon. A few thoughts about an open heaven. First of all, before we talk about an open heaven, I want to share a few reflections about the value of reflecting on the Word of God. A few reflections on the value of reflecting on the Word of God. Before Philip came looking for Nathanael, Nathanael had been sitting under a fig tree. In those days, this is how we prove that there's Italians all over the Bible. In those days, everybody planted fig trees in their yards. And they sat under those fig trees in the shade to commune with God. Under the fig tree, they did their daily devotions. Under the fig tree, they prayed and they read and meditated on the scriptures. It appears that Nathanael was a student of the scriptures. When Philip found Nathanael, he appealed to Nathanael based on the witness of the scripture. We have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law and the prophets wrote about. Nathanael knew those scriptures. He knew that they said the Messiah would come from Bethlehem, not from Nazareth. Based on Jesus' words, it appears that Nathanael was communing with God under that fig tree. Maybe like when Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was offering incense in the holy place in the temple, and he whispered a passionate prayer of desire to the Lord. Perhaps Nathanael whispered his own prayer to God under the fig tree. Very likely he was reading and reflecting on Jacob in the book of Genesis, chapter 28. Whatever he was doing, Jesus used a word of knowledge and read his mail. Let me ask you something. How are you doing with your Bible reading in 2021? Are you keeping up with us in reading through the Bible in a year? Haven't the devotionals been absolutely amazing that the members of our own HTC family have been writing every day? I've just been blown away, and I've been so blessed. Listen, if you've fallen behind in your reading, just pick up the Bible and start right where we're all at today. You can go back later. You can make up whatever reading you might have missed. But start with us today and just keep up with us. There is value in reflecting on God's Word. Few reflections about that. First of all, reflecting on the Word leads to real life encounters with Jesus. Reflecting on the Word leads to real life encounters with Jesus. Nathanael's reflections on the Word drew Jesus toward him. Nathanael's spiritual hunger attracted Jesus. The Word had transformed Nathanael's character into something attractive to Jesus. And reflecting on the Word draws Jesus toward us as well. God says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Call out to me, and I will answer you. Search for me with all of your heart, and you will find me. Jesus said that the purpose of all Scripture is to reveal Him. And as we reflect on the Scriptures, we not only gather information about Jesus, but we actually experience His presence with us. Listen, if you're struggling a little bit to keep up in that schedule, that Bible reading schedule, reading through the Bible in a year, before you start reading every day, just ask Jesus to come be present with you as you reflect on the Word of God. There's value in reflecting on the word. Another reflection about that. Reflecting on the word creates in us ready faith in Jesus. Reflecting on the word creates in us ready faith in Jesus. You know, Nathanael is the very first person in the Gospel of John to be called a believer in Jesus. Jesus himself called Nathanael that. And notice how quickly and easily Nathanael believed on Jesus compared to other disciples that took 3 years to become fully persuaded about him. Nathanael's time reflecting in the word prepared him to recognize Jesus and to respond to him right away. And it's true for us too. The more time that we spend in the word of God, the more quickly you'll be able to recognize when God is moving around you and respond to that. That's good right there. There's value in reflecting on the word. Here's another thought. Reflecting on the word prepares us to release highest praises to Jesus. You know, the more we learn about the Lord in the Word, the more capacity we have, the more vocabulary we have to praise Him. The more we learn about Him, the more we can worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. The more we understand His singular greatness, we better understand and articulate who He is and the great things that he has done. In John chapter 1 alone, there are at least 16 different titles for Jesus. The Word, God, the true light that gives light to every person, the one and only Son, Jesus Christ, the one sent from the Father's bosom, Messiah, the Lord, the Lamb of God, who bears away the sins of the world, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, God's chosen one, the one Moses and the prophets wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph, the Son of Man. Nathanael adds a few more titles to that pile, Rabbi, the Son of God, the King of Israel. Because Nathanael reflected on the word, he knew who Jesus was and he knew what to call him. You know, sometimes during worship here at HTC, we have an interlude where we invite you to make up your own lyrics and just express your love for the Lord. If you find in those moments that you're a little short on words, perhaps you need to spend more time in the Word of God. And that's good preaching. Few thoughts about an open heaven. There's value reflecting in the word. Now let's talk about what is it like to live under an open heaven. What is it like to live under an open heaven? First of all, under an open heaven, we receive a new identity. There's something wonderful we learn in this story. Jesus knows us. One day we were visiting our founding pastors, Pastor Ray and Patty, and I noticed on Patty's kitchen windowsill there was a little sign that said, Jesus knows me, this I love. Jesus loves me, this I know, but Jesus knows me, this I love. May I tell you, Jesus knows you. Jesus knows your character. He knows what you're made of. After all, he is the one who knit you together while you were still in your mother's womb. Jesus knows your good traits. He knows in what ways specifically you've been woven together by him in the image of God. He also knows in what ways that image has been marred by sin. In John chapter 2, verse 24, it says, Jesus knows every person. He knows what is in the heart of every person. Not only does Jesus know your character, he also knows your thoughts and your actions. Jesus knows everything you've done, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows the deepest whispers of your heart. He knows what lies in your subconscious. He knows you even better than you know your own heart. Absolutely nothing about you is hidden from him, so you might as well have a talk with him about all of it. But most importantly, and here's the best part, Jesus knows your redemptive identity. Jesus knows what you are now, but Jesus also knows what you are about to become in him. When Jesus met Simon, he knew Simon's present character, brash and impetuous, just like his namesake Simeon, the second son of Jacob, who brought disgrace on Jacob's family. Jesus knew what Simon was, but he also knew that Simon was about to become Peter, an unwavering, solid rock whom would lay the foundation of the church. When Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, he knew that she was ashamed over the revolving door of relationships in her life. But Jesus also knew that she was about to become the leading evangelist of a revival movement in Samaria. When Jesus met Nathanael, he knew that Nathanael was a man whose character had been transformed by his diligence in the word. Here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. You know, that same word deceit is used of Jacob in Genesis chapter 27, verse 35. So literally, when Jesus meets Nathanael, he says, "Here is an Israelite in whom there is no Jacob." Jesus saw that Nathanael had overcome the generational iniquity of his family. And Jesus saw that Nathanael, the man of the Word of God, was about to become Nathanael, a man moved by the Spirit of God. Listen, Jesus knows you. This I love. Jesus knows your character. He knows what you're made of. He made you. He knows what's been broken and damaged in your life because of sin. He knows all of your thoughts. He knows everything you've ever done. He also knows your redemptive identity. He knows what you're about to become in him. Living under an open heaven, he knows the victory that you're about to win over the generational iniquity in your family. Living under an open heaven, he knows the person of the Spirit you're about to become. Living under an open heaven, he knows how God is about to use you to accomplish great things for his kingdom on earth. What's it like to live under an open heaven, a new identity? Here's another thought. Under an open heaven, we discover a new destiny. Under an open heaven, we discover a new destiny. Jesus not only had a word of knowledge about Nathanael's past, Jesus also spoke prophetically about Nathanael's future. Surely, surely, you will see greater things. In addition to revelation from the Word of God, Nathanael was about to experience revelation from the Spirit of God. God was about to show him new things. God was about to become active in new ways in Nathanael's life. And listen, this is my favorite part right here. The promise wasn't just for Nathanael alone, but for the whole group that was following Jesus. When Jesus says, "You will see greater things," the "you" is plural, meaning you all will see greater things. In southern Israel, they'd say it this way, "All y'all gonna see greater things." Precious friends, listen, in Christ Jesus, we belong to a community that is destined to see greater things. At Harvest Time Church, we are destined to see greater things. In our office suite is the green room that served for 15 years as our prayer room before we built this sanctuary. On the wall in the green room that was the prayer room is a picture of Jacob's ladder. It was gifted to us by some special friends. And there's a story behind that picture. Just before we moved into the first half of this building in 2003, the Lord told me to dedicate that prayer room in the Spirit. We invited a handful of our praying friends to a special meeting. And there was a couple visiting us from Buffalo who have a beautiful intercessory prayer ministry. On our way up King Street to start the meeting, our friend Al said, "You know, I feel like I have a word from the Lord for the church. There is an open heaven over Harvest Time Church." There's an open heaven over this property, over this building, over this prayer room. There's an open heaven over this congregation, like when Jacob saw a vision of an open heaven and a ladder from earth to heaven. We were still finishing up construction odds and ends in the first building, and a workman had been there earlier in the day in the prayer room, and he had left open a access hatch in the ceiling of the prayer room. And when we came in to pray, smack in the middle of the prayer room, there was a ladder that he had left in the middle of the room from the floor going up into the ceiling and disappearing into the attic. You can think whatever you want to think, but I know that God had him leave that there as a little sign that there's an open heaven over us. Precious friends, here is what I know. I know that we are a community who is destined to see greater things together. In the midst of troubled times, we're going to see the hand of God at work. When there's confusion and chaos all around us, we're going to receive clear direction from the Lord, and we're going to know exactly what to do. Jesus promised that when we follow him, we will never stumble in darkness through life, but we will have light for living. When the darkness gets darker around us, we're going to experience the moving of the Holy Spirit. When men's hearts fail them for fear, we're going to experience the strength of God in our innermost being. And as the whole world falls apart, we're going to see God's plan for a worldwide end time revival come together. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Listen. You believe this. Receive this word. Hold on to it. Be strengthened in your innermost being. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You receive this word. No matter what bad news the headlines might bring, we are people who are destined to see greater things. I believe it. What's it like to live under an open heaven, a new identity? A new destiny. Here's another thought. Under an open heaven, we experience divine order and authority. We experience divine order and authority. Jesus went on to describe the nature of the greater things that Nathanael and all of his followers would see. I want you to notice with me, in Jacob's vision, there is structure, there is order, there is process, and there is oversight. The structure, the ladder, is Jesus. Jesus is Jacob's ladder. He is the one who connects heaven and earth. He is stable. He is reliable. He is securely in place. And on that structure, angels move in a definite order. And at the top of it all, the Lord oversees everything. Remember what Jesus taught us to pray. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, everything God wills is carried out. In heaven, God is fully and joyfully obeyed. No one challenges God in heaven. In heaven, there are no crises. In heaven, there are no conflicts. In heaven, there are no glitches. There are no mishaps. There are no missteps. The atmosphere of heaven is perfectly pleasant and peaceful at all times. Living under an open heaven means that no matter how crazy things get here on earth, and they do get crazy, we can still experience ourselves the orderliness and the calm of heaven. Listen. We are not going to be anxious, and we're not going to get angry. I tell you, in the name of Jesus, you are not going to get anxious, and you're not going to be angry. Our experience is going to be on earth as it is in heaven. Living under an open heaven, there is a structure, there is a process, there is divine oversight that holds us secure and steady in the midst of uncertainty. And listen, it enables us to flourish even when there is injustice. When Jacob had his vision of the ladder and the open heaven. He was on his way to the chaos and the dysfunction of crooked Uncle Laban's house. Over a period of 20 years, Uncle Laban cheated Jacob. He renegotiated Jacob's contract downward 10 times in 20 years. Nevertheless, listen, God's authority over Jacob's life overruled Laban's schemes. In a dream, God gave Jacob a system whereby Jacob grew exponentially more wealthy than Uncle Laban. I'm going to tell you, in the days ahead, I believe that we, God's people, are going to see that kind of divine intervention. Deceivers may try to take things away to us, but the authority of God operating over our life is going to overrule their schemes. Listen, listen, God wins in the end. He wins. And he not only wins in the end, he helps us win all along the way. And though people may try to take away from us, God will add to us. What's it like living under an open heaven, a new identity, a new destiny? We will see greater things, divine order and authority. One more thought. I like this one so much. I have to tell you the truth. I'm preaching myself happy. I'm preaching to me. So every sermon I write is to me, for me. I just stand up here and I say it in front of you, but I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. I told that to the congregation for years. Every sermon is to me, for me. And one week I preached about why weed is really bad and so destructive. And one of the board members sent me a little note and said, "Pastor Glenn, I hope that sermon wasn't for you." No, that one was not for me, but this one is for me. What's it like living under an open heaven? Under an open heaven, we become, I like this, I feel it right now. Under an open heaven, we become the recipients of heavenly assistance. In these words of Jesus, we see something about the role of angels in answered prayer. The New Testament book of Hebrews says that angels are ministering spirits sent to help those of us who will inherit salvation. In the Bible, God dispatched angels to bring gifts of provision to people. God dispatched angels to administer gifts of physical healing and strengthening. God dispatched angels to rescue people when they were in danger and deliver people when they were in dungeons of oppression. God dispatched angels to minister encouragement and inner strengthening to those who were emotionally distraught and depleted. After a super stressful parting of ways with crooked Uncle Laban, God dispatched a welcoming party of angels to welcome Jacob as he crossed back over Jordan into the promised land, the land of his inheritance. Listen, I have a word for somebody. I believe that you've made a move recently. I don't know whether it's a physical move. I don't know whether it's a job change. I don't know whether it's a move in a relationship, but I just feel like the Lord is going to dispatch to you a welcoming party of angels who are going to reassure you that you made the right move in the right time and that God is with you. As we finish up, I want you to notice with me the order in which those angels travel on the ladder, who is Jesus. The angels ascend to heaven with our request to God, and then they descend back to earth with his answers. I want to be crystal clear. Angels don't provide the gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes from our Father in heaven. The angels are just the messengers. We don't ever pray to, nor do we worship angels, but they carry our request to heaven, and then they come back with God's replies. To live, I love this, to live under an open heaven means that there is a vast network of heavenly beings that has been deployed on our behalf. Last week we talked about how the devil oversees a vast network of evil spirits. Know this, God's heavenly armies outnumber the enemy 2-1. And as hell marshals all of its forces for the showdown that's coming very soon at the end of the age. May God open our eyes as Elisha prayed to see that those that are for us are far greater in number and far greater in power than those who are against us. Worship team, come help me as I finish. What does it mean to live under an open heaven? One last thought, and we're done. One last thought. What does it mean to live under an open heaven? I love this. Under an open heaven, we realize that wherever we are on earth, we're in the suburbs of heaven. Wherever we are on earth, we're in the suburbs of heaven. Jacob had his dream of an open heaven during the worst crisis of his life. When he awoke, he said, "What an awesome place this is. God is in this place, and I didn't even know it. Surely this is the house of God. Surely this is the gate of heaven." But listen, it wasn't the place that was special. It was the open heaven over Jacob's life that made wherever he was become special. That's what it means to live under an open heaven. It means to realize that wherever I am, and no matter what my present circumstances, God is with me and he is at work on my behalf. How awesome is this? God is at work in my home, and I didn't even realize it. How awesome is this? God is at work in my family, and I didn't even realize it. How awesome is this? God is at work in my circle of friends, and I didn't even realize it. How awesome is this? Even though my boss is the devil, God is at work in my workplace. Now, if you were on Harvest Time staff, don't you laugh at that. Even though my boss is the devil, God is at work in my workplace. How awesome is this? God is at work in my school, and I didn't even know it. Wherever I am in the suburbs of heaven because I live under an open heaven. Precious HTC family, receive the word of the Lord. We are destined to see greater things together. We are destined to live under an open heaven. Come on, stand on your feet. Would you give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place today? Oh, come on. I'm preaching better than you're praising right now. Give the Lord a great big praise in this place. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Lift up your faces. Lift up your voices. Come on. Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Let's worship him.
Our God.
Come on, sing one more time. How great is our God? How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great. How great is our God? Come on, give the Lord one more good praise in this place. Hallelujah. Just as we finish today, I want to invite you, if you're willing, to just make a confession of faith with me. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, with the same spirit of faith we believe and therefore speak. Can I tell you, there's a confession of faith on the lips of God's people that is powerful to change the atmosphere around you. It's powerful to change the atmosphere of your mind and of your heart. Just from what we shared today, if you're willing, would you just put your hand over your heart? Let's make this confession of faith together. I live in the suburbs of heaven. Oh, come on, devil can't even hear you. I live in the suburbs of heaven. I live under the authority and order of the King of Kings. I am a citizen of heaven. I am the recipient of heavenly assistance. Those that are for me are greater than those who are against me. I am destined to see greater things. Come on, I am destined to see greater things. I am destined to see greater things. We are destined to see greater things. For we live under an open heaven. Come on, give the Lord one more good praise in this place today. God bless you, everyone. We're going to sing one more time. After you've sung, you can be dismissed. If there's anybody here that would like to receive personal prayer, we have a prayer room directly across the foyer in that direction. Pastor Ruth and some of our friends will be there, and any need you have, they'll be happy to pray about with you. Listen, I want you to live this week in the joy of the Lord. Live in confidence. Live in faith under an open heaven. God bless you. Sing one more time, and then you can go.
Great week, and we'll see you here next Sunday.